A logo appears in bold slanting letters over a blue planet in space. Turner. Now a logo of a thick-maned lion framed by a ring of film. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Now, a man with short, dusty blonde hair and icy blue eyes walks briskly beside a weathered brick wall. He wears a black rain jacket buttoned up to his neck. He slows as he approaches a group of nicely dressed black men and women. On the other side of the brick wall, weathered tombs and burial vaults fill a cemetery. The blue-eyed man watches a small band enter, followed by pallbearers carrying a coffin. As the pallbearers enter, the man continues on, pushing his way past another group of mourners. A young brown-eyed shoeshine boy walks alongside the man, smiling up at him. The man looks down at the boy, who shifts his eyes goadingly.
Hey, man. Hey, Cincinnati. Come on, man. Come on, Dad. Come on, I'm gonna get you one more time. Come on, man. Come on. Just one more time. Come on, man.
Okay.
The boy in Cincinnati crouched down a few feet from the brick wall. The boy tosses a quarter against the wall and it lands a few inches away.
Let's see you cut that.
Cincinnati tosses his quarter. It lands right up against the wall and Cincinnati collects both coins. He and the boy lock eyes.
You're just not ready for me yet.
Cincinnati playfully punches the boy's shoulder and walks off. The boy keeps his gaze locked on the man as he picks up his shoeshine box. Out of the corners of his eyes, the boy watches Cincinnati head further down the street. Our view drifts over the graying brick wall and into the cemetery. The band and dozens of mourners fill a narrow passage between two mausoleums. Now, the band marches down a street. Titles appear. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer presents Steve McQueen as the Cincinnati Kid, Edward G. Robinson as Lancey Howard, Anne Margaret as Melba, Carl Malden as Shooter, Tuesday Weld as Christian in Martin Rantzehoff's production, The Cincinnati Kid. This film has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding by the U.S. Department of Education, described by Kerry Dennehy and Dutch Priest, read by Michael Goff. For more about description, call DBS at 1-800-333-1203 or visit our website at access.wgbh.org. Co-starring Joan Blondell, Rip Torn, Jack Weston, Cab Calloway, with Jeff Corey, Theo Marcuse, Milton Selzer, Ron Sobel, Carl Swenson. Dozens of people dance on the wet streets with open umbrellas. Music by Lalo Schifrin. Song The Cincinnati Kid, lyrics by Dorcas Cochran. Theme song of The Cincinnati Kid, sung by Ray Charles. Director of Photography, Philip H. Lathrop, ASC, in Metrocolor. Copyright 1965. Art direction, George W. Davis and Edward Carfagno. Set decoration, Henry Grace and Hugh Hunt. Recording supervisor, Franklin Milton. Orchestra conducted by Robert Armbruster. Costumes designed by Don Feld. Assistant director, Kurt Newman. Associate producer, John Calley. Based on the novel, The Cincinnati Kid by Richard Jessup. Screenplay by Ring Lardner Jr. and Terry Southern. Produced by Martin Rantzehoff. Directed by Norman Jewison. Now, men play stud poker in a smoky room.
Just a minute. What's that? Oh, A3. Oh, and our lucky friend from Baton Rouge gets a big fat queen with his pal 60s. Little lady make you feel happy, Buster?
Deal yourself, clown.
Dealer's flush. Well, that broke that up. Go ahead, bet your 60, Buster.
Told you not to call me that. 175.
The old dealer watches as a player in a fedora adds some cash to the pot at the center of the table.
And cost you 194 fish.
Another player folds.
Well, I swear. Yo, Tommy Ean.
The dealer folds and looks to another player.
194 fish you lose to you, friend.
It's the Cincinnati Kid. As cigar smoke drifts through the air, the players eye him.
You gonna bust everybody? Or am I?
The kid smiles.
So, what are you gonna do?
Call.
The kid adds a stack of bills to the pot.
What do you mean, call?
I think you're trying to buy it. Eights.
The kid reveals his overturned card. The man in the fedora flips his over with a frown. The kid stands and gathers up the pot. The man in the fedora stares straight ahead, gnawing on a toothpick.
What, are you guys blind or something?
What do you mean, Buster?
I think somebody's been daubing these cars.
The kid glares.
Are you crazy?
The man keeps his gaze fixed on the kid.
He ain't gonna put out $194 in a lousy pair.
You did.
Smoke wafts past the man's steely gaze.
I'm saying you've been marking these cars.
I don't need marked cars to beat you, pal.
The man in the fedora keeps his gaze fixed on the kid as he collects the rest of his winnings. The kid tosses a coin to the dealer and heads into an adjoining room. The dealer grins at the rest of the players. The man in the fedora gets up from the table. A short, burly man follows him into the adjoining room. Inside, the kid leans over a dirty sink and splashes water on his face. In the reflection of a broken mirror, he sees the two men in the doorway.
Stay here. I'll take care of him.
The kid leans back down over the sink. As he splashes water on his face, he spots two rusted razor blades on the sink's edge. He discreetly picks one up and turns to face the man in the fedora.
Give me the money.
The kid stays put. The man in the fedora takes out a switchblade. The man lunges towards Cincinnati. The kid dodges and locks arms with him. Cincinnati uses his free hand to press the razor to the man's neck. The kid eyes the knife as he squeezes the man's arm.
Drop it.
The man lets the switchblade drop. Cincinnati throws up his razor and delivers a blow to the man's gut. As the man collapses, the kid reaches for the door. Finding it locked, he grabs a bucket and breaks a boarded-up window. Cincinnati climbs through and lands in a back alley. He looks around a moment, then races toward a rundown industrial building. The man's companion looks out the broken window and spots the kid. He and the man in the fedora race out the door after him. Cincinnati comes out on the other side of a locomotive roundhouse, where a turntable slowly spins a diesel engine around. The kid runs along the side of the rotating bridge to the other end of the turntable. As his two pursuers reach the turntable, the engines block their view. Now the kid looks over his shoulder as he races alongside two rails. Ducking down, he crawls under a stopped freight car. As he comes out the other side, he carefully peers underneath, then hops over a track. Now the kid runs across a rail yard, hopping over track after track. His feet skip over the long crisscrossing rails. A diesel engine approaches, and the kid crosses the tracks 20 yards in front of the oncoming train. As it continues on its path, the kid casually walks alongside it. Buttoning his jacket, he glances over his shoulder. Just feet away, passenger coaches roll past him. The kid moves on. The train slowly rolls to a stop. Steam billows up from its underside. As the steam disperses, it reveals a distinguished gentleman with a gray goatee standing atop a coach's steps. Later, the gentleman approaches a taxi. He hands the curbside attendant a bill, then looks to a nearby organ grinder and his costumed monkey.
What's his name?
Tricky Bob.
Here you are, Tricky.
He hands the monkey a bill, then looks in the taxi.
Raleigh Hotel, please.
Now, in a lavish hotel lobby, the man approaches the front desk.
Mr. Howard, sir. Welcome back to New Orleans. 212 for Mr. Howard.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Howard?
Mr. Howard follows a bellhop to the elevator. Now the kid walks through a smoky pool hall.
Hey, King Kiddo. Come on, baby. I'll spot you three balls.
Ain't my game, Eddie.
All right, nearby, kid. Five guys play poker.
Come on, kid. We've been holding a chair for you.
The kid sits next to a black player.
How are you running, Philly?
They've been running right by me all day, kid. What's the bet?
Yeah, you stopped a couple, though, didn't you?
17 to you, Philly.
Well, I'll give you my definitive answer to any inquiry along those lines as soon as I see Whitey's hole card. I call.
Ace is up.
I don't believe that beats 3/4. Do it.
Philly collects his winnings and turns to the kid.
Say, you wouldn't happen to hold any markers?
Oh, yeah.
Look at that. The man holds markers on everybody in this town. What you got on me, kid?
Got you for 110, a 60, and an 85.
Philly counts out a handful of bills and hands them to the kid.
I'll take the 110, the 60, you take the 85 and put it back in your bank. Thanks, kid. Deal the cards.
Hey, Philly.
The kid gives him a wink and leaves the table. He approaches a counter where several men gather.
Hi, kid.
The kid bats his hand at a live rooster.
A bird, huh? Gaffney?
No, he's a roundhead. Now, don't get him excited.
Hello, shooter.
The kid smiles at a clean-cut man in a pinstripe suit.
Where you been?
Across the river.
Do any good? Couple $100. Hey, you know there was a guy in the game that accused me of juicing the deck?
Playing with amateurs, huh? Haven't I told you you're going to get your melon open one of these days?
It was the only game I could find in town where I wasn't holding markers on somebody. I'm thinking about going to Miami.
Oh, you're going to go to work in Miami, huh?
Yeah. Why, you got a better idea?
I don't know. It may be just a rumor. You know how these things get started, but they say that Lancey Howard is in town.
They say Lancey Howard?
The man himself.
The kid'll have to play him. Am I right, kid? You going to play him?
Lancey Howard. Lancey Howard take the skin right off the kid.
I'm giving even money on the kid.
50 cents.
In his hotel suite, Lancey Howard uses the phone.
Yes, Mr. Slade. Tomorrow's fine. Couldn't be better. I understand that stud poker is your game. Well, your stakes are my pleasure, sir. But why don't we make it about lunchtime?
Well, that's a fine idea, Mr. Howard. Around noon, then? I'm right here in the hotel.
My pleasure, sir.
Lancey sucks down a raw oyster.
And do remember me kindly to your charming wife.
In the other hotel room, Mr. Slade lies in bed.
Mr. Howard, one thing more. May I suggest we secure for ourselves the dealing services of the shooter for this auspicious occasion?
A woman with smooth cocoa skin lights his cigarette.
That's excellent. Excellent. All right, then. Bye-bye.
Slade hangs up. His female companion snuggles up to him and rubs his bare chest.
Don't touch me.
The woman backs away. Slade stares off somberly, puffing on his cigarette. In Lancey's room, the wealthy man turns to his waiter.
Just a wee bit more Tabasco.
Now, the kid and shooter stand on a ferry.
Yeah, this game's been coming for a long time, hasn't it, kid?
Too long.
Think so? I told you what happened when I played him.
Yeah, I know.
He laid me out, strung me up, and then...
Shooter gazes off with a faint smile.
Kid, I mean he gutted me.
Yeah, you told me, Shooter.
Just wait till he's looking down your throat, that's all. Just wait.
You don't think I'm ready, do you?
I don't know. You're one of the greatest stud players I've ever seen. But then again, so is Lancey Howard. It's not going to be like sitting down with me and Doc Socal. You see, I've been where I'm going. The way I play now, just percentages. Don't win much, don't lose much.
Do you think you were ready when you sat down with him?
I thought I was the best stud poker player in the world. I'm telling you, I thought I was the best.
I got something, Shooter. You know I've got something.
The kid levels his gaze on Shooter. The older man lifts his lips in a half smile.
Yeah, you've got something. I know that, kid. But you've got to remember that he's the man, see? He's got an awful lot to protect. He'll use everything in the book and then some he's made up just to kill you.
I don't want any lesson, Shooter. I want everything he's got.
Later, a blonde woman waits on the dock as a worker lets down a ramp to the ferry. A few boys on bicycles ride off the boat, followed by some cars. As Shooter drives his car onto the dock, the kid rides perched on the running board. He hops off and approaches the blonde.
Hi.
Hi.
You cold?
No.
The kid leans in, and they kiss tenderly. The girl hooks her arm in his and fingers a hole in his jacket.
What happened to you, Cole?
I ripped it. What'd you do today?
I went to the movies, and it was all in French.
In French, huh?
Yeah. You know what they do? They sign the words in at the bottom of the picture in English so you can understand it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't in French.
Later, the kid soaks in the tub.
It was about this town in Europe, and they get this message.
What was it, in French, Spanish, or English?
What?
The message.
Do you want to hear this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, the Spanish general has sent the message that he's coming to spend the night with his army. Now, the men in the town are scared silly, so the wives and the daughters tell him not to worry and go away and hide someplace and let them bargain with him, you see.
Hmm.
Well, the ladies with the Spanish army.
The kid stares off, a cigarette dangling from his lips. The blonde takes it and dips it in the water.
I won't tell it anymore.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I won't tell it.
Well, no. Just tell me what happened.
No.
The kid sits up. The blonde, Christian, smiles warmly and starts to wash his back.
You don't believe this. But the women get together and have this big party. And they all go to bed with the Spanish army.
Mm-hmm.
The kid locks his gaze on her.
Oh. Anyway, come morning, the soldiers go off and everybody's happy.
And the husbands are happy.
Yeah, husbands, fathers, everybody. It seems they cared more about their lives than they did about their honor.
Christian stares off thoughtfully. Her brow furrows and she shakes her head. The kid raises his eyebrows at her.
That thing, my teeth?
Yeah.
Well, how come?
Well, because that makes sense. That's why.
It doesn't make sense.
The point is that what good is honor if you're dead?
He nods knowingly. His eyes shift in thought, then return to Christian.
Hey, what the hell are you going to Frenchie movies for anyway?
Shooter's wife wanted to go.
Melba.
Melba.
Since when are you hanging with Melba?
Since that game in Corpus.
Melba.
Melba.
Wow.
You don't want me to go out with Melba?
Hey, I don't care what she's doing.
Well, you should.
Christian dunks the kid's head under the water. As he emerges, she smiles and exits into an adjacent bedroom.
I happen to like Melba.
The kid smiles. Now, on the other side of a sheer embroidered curtain, a sultry redhead kneels on a bed and works on a half-finished jigsaw puzzle. Using a nail file, she sands down the edges of a piece and forces it into a space in the puzzle. Shooter looks on from a doorway as he wipes his hands with a towel.
Melba, why do you do that?
So it'll fit, stupid.
No, I'm not talking about that. What I'm asking is, do you have to cheat at everything?
At everything?
Yes.
Melba glances up at Shooter seductively.
Solitaire. I've yet to see you play one game of solitaire without cheating.
So what?
Look, you're just cheating yourself, don't you understand? You'll be the loser, no one else but yourself.
Melba snips a puzzle piece with a small pair of scissors. Shooter watches as she fits the mutilated piece into a hole in the puzzle.
You've ruined the puzzle, now that doesn't go in there.
It does now.
Shooter watches Melba as she searches for another piece. He sits up and angrily throws his towel aside. As Shooter walks away, Melba's eyes follow him under her heavily lined lids and thick lashes. Her golden yellow nightie accentuates her cleavage as she leans over her puzzle. As she leisurely scans the pieces, she takes a bite of an apple. Melba sits up and quickly searches the puzzle pieces. Behind her, a phone sits on a bedside table. As Melba focuses on her puzzle, Shooter answers the phone, scowling.
Why should I answer? You only get steamed if it's for me.
Oh, yes, Lancey. As I heard, you were in town. Hey, what are you up to? A little action, maybe?
Melba caresses his back.
But I keep forgetting. You like to steam, don't you, Shooter?
Lancey.
William Jefferson Slade. Local celebrity, I understand.
Comes from one of the richest families in the state.
Melba's hand wanders down Shooter's arm and squeezes his bicep. As Shooter grips her hand, she pulls it away.
Yeah, that's right, Lindsay.
Seems that your reputation is one of the few stable things in a world of crumbling values.
Mm-hmm. I'll be there.
Shooter hangs up and looks over his shoulder at Melba. Her gaze stays on him as she takes another bite of her apple. Shooter snatches it from her. As she calmly turns back to her puzzle, Shooter squeezes the apple angrily. He whips open the sheer curtain and leaves. Now, Melba and Christian look in a store window at a mannequin wearing a two-piece bathing suit.
Would you really wear a thing like that? Why not? I got nothing to hide. Hey, I bet you'd look good in one, too. Oh, no, I couldn't. I just couldn't wear that. Come on. Well, now where are you going? You ever been to the Turkish bath? Turkish baths? French movies. I don't know about you, Melba. Well, then come on and find out. The Turkish bath leaves nothing to the imagination. But I wouldn't know what to do in a Turkish bath. But this was so marvelous. You don't do anything. They do it to you. Come on.
Now the girls get massages.
Well, you and the shooter are married. Now that's something. It's nothing. Believe you me, honey, it's nothing. You know you got somebody that wants to spend the rest of his life with you, too. How'd you like to spend the rest of your life with Shooter?
Christian gazes off and rests her cheek on the massage table. Her long blonde hair is swept up in a messy bun, and her large blue eyes blink sadly.
At least you know how much you mean to somebody.
Now in Lancey's hotel room, Shooter deals to five men.
Last card. Possible flush. Pair of eights. Nothing there. Pair of queens. Possible flush.
Queens check to the possibles.
Slade draws on his cigarette as he studies the cards. Eyeing Lancey, he gathers a couple of chips and places them in the pot.
2,000.
Two and up to.
Fold.
Fold. I fold.
Lancey faces Shooter.
This Cincinnati kid, he wants a game, huh?
He does.
Is he any good?
Come on, you know he is.
Slade studies the table.
That's the biggest pot yet.
Mm-hmm. Slade puts in two more chips.
Call the 2,000.
Queen high.
Slade glowers as he flips his card.
Jack high, can you beat that?
He just did.
Another player answers the phone.
Hello, just a moment.
Charlie, it's your office.
Dallas or Tulsa?
Probably both.
As the others leave the table, Slade faces Lancey.
How the hell did you know I didn't have the king or the ace?
I recollect a young man putting the same question to Eddie the Dude. Son, Eddie told him, all you paid was the looking prize. Lessons are extra.
Lancey approaches a table spread with food. Shooter hands him a cup of coffee.
Yeah, Lancey.
Oh, thank you.
You gonna play the kid?
There's always a kid, isn't there?
Yes, there is. But I think you'll enjoy his game.
I may admire it, but if what I heard is true, I doubt if I'll enjoy it.
Oh, come on now. The tougher the competition, the better you used to like it.
Well, what are we waiting for, Shooter? Come on, let's go. Deal him up.
Slade looks away from them with a furrowed brow. Shooter and Lancey eye each other and approach the cranky gentleman. Now, on the street, the young brown-eyed boy shines the kid's shoes. Melba and Christian approach.
Well, I do declare, Christian, it's that Three River gambling man, the Cincinnati kid, getting himself all shined up. How they running, kid?
Fine, now they're running for you.
You'll never guess where we just been.
Stag movies?
Mm-mm. We went to Turkish baths, and we had rub downs and everything.
Yeah, you should have been there.
Yeah.
Listen, I heard the big news.
Big news?
Yeah. Everybody says the kid's gonna sit down with Lancey Howard. Some say he's gonna be the man.
The shoeshine boy winks at the kid.
Or didn't you know, Christian?
Christian twists her lips and eyes him.
See you around.
Melba leaves. The kid holds a coin out for the shoeshine boy.
Double or nothing.
Call it.
He flips it.
Head.
You're just not ready for me yet.
He faces Christian.
Come on, let's get something to eat.
Christian eyes her love. The shoeshine boy watches them head off down the street. Now the kid and Christian sit in a restaurant.
I didn't know you were thinking about going home.
Christian stares down at her plate.
When are you going?
As the kid takes a sip of his drink, Christian opens her mouth to speak, then stops. She takes a deep breath and folds her arms across her chest.
There's a bus that leaves tonight. Unless you wanted me to stay.
They both stare down at the table. As the kid puts his hand over his glass, Christian lifts her gaze to him.
Until morning, that is.
The kid gives her a sidelong glance. She looks back at him with wide, glistening eyes. Her blonde hair frames her smooth young skin and pouting lips. Now, rose-colored clouds hang in the sky over the riverside city. A ferry boat moves slowly across the calm water. Inside the kid's apartment, Christian brushes her hair.
Well, are you coming back?
The kid sits up in bed. Christian starts to button her blouse.
Well, you never even asked me why I was going.
Why are you going?
Like you don't want me around your neck. Not now, anyways.
Well, I never said that.
Christian stops tucking in her blouse and steps toward the bed. She sits down beside the kid and looks at him earnestly.
You never said anything. About us.
The kid gazes into her eyes, then gets up and heads toward the bathroom. Christian looks off sadly. She slowly gets up and continues tucking her blouse into her skirt.
Listen, Christian. After the game, I'll be the man. I'll be the best there is.
In the bathroom, the kid ties his shoe. Christian sets her suitcase on the bedroom floor.
People will sit down at the table with you. Just so they can say they played with a man.
As Christian puts on her coat, the kid looks on from the doorway.
And that's what I'm going to be, Christian.
She stares at him and angrily twists her lips.
I know.
The kid disappears into the bathroom, and Christian tightens her coat's belt.
What is it, marriage?
Christian stops tying the belt on her coat and looks toward the bathroom with wide eyes. The kid reappears in the doorway and looks at her with a furrowed brow. Christian cocks her head to one side.
I'm all packed.
Christian looks longingly at the kid, who stares at her. He slowly steps into the room, brushes past the young woman, and stops behind her. She closes her eyes and holds her breath, still clutching her belt. The kid picks up her suitcase and heads out of the room. Now on a bus, Christian slides open her window. The kid stands below and hands her a magazine. As Christian takes it, the kid rests his hand on the window's edge. Christian puts her hand on his. As the bus drives off, the kid slowly lets go and watches her leave. Now in Lancey's hotel room, Slade wearily rubs his eyes and checks his pocket watch. Beside him, Shooter packs away the poker chips and Lancey counts his money. As two players get ready to leave, Slade writes in his checkbook.
Six stacks, is that right, Shooter? Six.
Shooter gets to his feet as Slade makes out his check.
Well, we've been playing 30 hours. That rate, $6,000, that makes roughly $200 an hour. Thank you for the entertainment, gentlemen.
Another player hands Lancey a check.
I'm particularly grateful to Lancey here. It's been a rewarding experience to watch a great artist at work. Thank you for the privilege, sir.
Well, now you're quite welcome, son. It's a pleasure to meet someone who understands that to the true gambler, money is never an end in itself, but simply a tool as language is thought. Good evening, Mr. Slade.
Good evening, Mr. Howard.
Slade collects his checkbook and approaches the door. As his driver opens it for him, he faces Shooter.
Old Shooter, I want to see you tonight at my house in about 30 minutes.
No, look, Slade,
I can't make it tonight. I promised my wife.
Oh, you can make it, boy. I'll see you tonight.
Shooter stares at Slade, motionless.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Slade exits. As his driver heads out, he gives Shooter a stern nod. Shooter's eyes shift in thought. As Lancey sips his coffee, then some liquor, Shooter steps over to the phone.
Quincy, 6859, please.
The other players leave.
Good night, Lancey.
Good night.
Night, Shooter.
Hi, kid. Shooter. Listen, I told Melba I'd take her with us to the fights tonight. But, something's come up. How about if she go with you and Christian?
Well, Christian isn't here. She's down with her folks for a couple of days. Did Lancey go for it at the game center?
Just about. Is it okay if Melba goes with you?
Look, Shooter,
I promised her. You know how it is. Well, I'd appreciate it. Thanks, kid. I'll meet you at my place after the fight.
Shooter hangs up and approaches Lancey.
Well, Lancey, are we all set for Monday night?
Uh-huh.
I can get Ladyfingers to come.
Ladyfingers?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen that old bitch. Oh, it must be at least 10 years. Long enough to think of her almost fondly. How's she doing?
She's down. She busted out in the Vegas Faro game.
Oh.
And, I'd like to use her as a relief dealer, if that's okay with you.
Oh, sure, sure.
Well, I guess that's it then, huh? 8 o'clock Monday, apartment 2A at the old Lafayette.
Yes?
And, may the best man win.
That's how it usually comes out in the long run. Oh, Shooter, tell me, is this young man of yours going to give me any trouble?
Yeah, he's going to give you trouble.
Well, I hope it isn't going to be one of those marathon games. Not anymore.
Like the session we had in St. Louis, remember?
Oh, sure, sure, with those hoods from South Chicago. The longest game I ever played, though, was on the maiden voyage of the Mauritania. Bishop's Rock to Ambrose Light without a stop. 6 days.
Lancey, you have been the man for a long time.
That is undoubtedly true. But don't let that fool you.
They head for the door.
I'm not ready to retire yet.
Shooter holds the door open for him.
Thank you.
Now, the kid and Melba enter a smoky, rundown bar. Men fill the tables and crowd the floor. Melba holds onto the kid's arm as he pushes through the crowd. At the back of the room, they head down some steps past men weighing roosters on balancing scales. One man stops the kid and shakes his hand. The kid and Melba step down to a lower level where wooden bleachers encircle a round pit. A couple of guys wave them over. Kid starts toward them, and Melba reluctantly follows. A man with round glasses scoots over and shakes the kid's hand. As they sit, the kid holds his hand out to a woman. She slaps it.
Where's Christian, honey? She went home to Mom. Didn't she, kid?
As Melba caresses him, a fat man approaches.
Can't live with him and can't live without him, huh, kid?
Yeah, that's right, Pete.
Don't lose no sweat, kid. Mine left me, too.
I wonder what.
Who are you trying to kiss, sister?
The fat man, Pig, sneers as he sits in front of them. He removes a cigar from his mouth and bites into a hot dog. Now in the pit, a man holds up a white-necked rooster to the crowd. He carries it over to another man holding up a rooster with ruddy brown feathers. The birds try to peck at each other. An announcer stands at the edge of the pit as the men carry the roosters around the circle and show them off to the crowd. Pig bites down on his cigar.
25 and 20! Show the crowd!
Throughout the bleachers, men and women exchange bets. An excited man spills his beer. A man with a leathery face argues with the man next to him. In the pit, the two handlers face each other and crouch down, gripping the birds. They repeatedly shove the roosters face to face. Each bird wears a metal blade on the heels of each foot.
All right, get him up.
The announcer stands over them.
Get ready.
The handlers let go, and the two cocks start to fight. They fly toward each other. The brown rooster hits the other's chest with its feet. The bird's wings flap and their neck feathers flare out as they attack. The crowd leans over the railings and cheers. The cocks flap their wings wildly as they pounce on each other. As the two roosters scratch, blood splatters across a man's white dress shirt. Melba's eyes grow wide and bright. Pig screams, his cigar still clenched in his teeth. Melba grins. As several men in the crowd smile and cheer, a man with a fountain pen yawns. The roosters hit each other's heads with the metal spurs on their feet. Melba's eyes narrow as she watches the cocks face off. Their neck feathers stand on end and spread out. Melba grabs the kid's arm.
Let's go out to the car.
Why don't you relax?
He faces Pig. The white-necked rooster lies on the ground. Blood stains its white feathers. The brown rooster steps on its opponent and bats its head. Melba whacks Pig. Now in a parlor, Slade shoots a gun.
Alice Lee, honey, would you like to freshen up Mr. Williams' drink a little bit?
A little more bourbon, Mr. Williams?
Thank you, Mrs. Slade.
She carries over a crystal decanter.
Now you just say when.
Oh, when? That's it. Thank you kindly, Mrs. Slade.
Honey, why don't you go out to the kitchen and bring us some of those fancy little hors d'oeuvres?
Why, that's exactly what I was about to do, sugar. I declare, Billy, sometimes I think you got psychic powers.
Slade heads down a short brick passage toward a target at the far end.
She's a real lady, Mrs. Slade.
That little gal means more to me than the whole wide world, shooter.
Slade replaces the target with a metronome.
How's your Melba these days?
Melba? Well, she's fine, just fine.
Shooter's smile dwindles as Slade heads back down the passage.
Yeah, she's a nice girl, Melba. Girl of quality and taste. Expensive tastes, I would imagine.
Well, I guess you might say that, yes.
Well, that's as it should be. That's one of the great feminine characteristics. Taste for fine things. Of course, we can't always afford to indulge their taste. That's the tragedy of it.
Slade shoots at the metronome.
That's when they start to drift away.
Shooter's eyes shift as the metronome target slides toward them on a rail. A playing card attached to the hand moves steadily left and right.
You know, this game that you're dealing for Lancey and the kid, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's an awful lot of interest developing in that game.
Slade hands Shooter the Jack of Hearts, its eye shot through.
Betting interest, that is. What would you figure the odds to be, Shooter?
Well, I'd say the New York money will probably lay about, 8-5 on Lancey.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, though, I think the kid's chances are better than that.
So do I. That's why I'm getting me down a bet. Big bet.
Well, I don't think I'd want to bet on it. Or the kid could take him if he's right, but, I'd never bet on it.
Lancey Howard is an old man, Shooter. He's ready for a fall. Trouble is that the kid might be nervous. Big game like this, he may be off his form. He may need a little help. You know?
No, I don't. I don't quite know what you're
dealing the game, aren't you?
Yes, I'm dealing the game.
Well, I thought as long as I'm going to the trouble of putting a bet down for myself, I may as well get one down for you, too. Say, in the neighborhood of $25,000.
Shooter locks eyes with Slade, then shakes his head.
I could never do anything like that.
Of course you couldn't. That's why they chose you to give them a fair deal.
Oh, it's out of the question, Mr. Slade, you see.
A butler enters.
If I...
Shooter watches him leave.
Merci, Emil. It's just out of the question, sorry.
Well, the kid's not going to need much help, Shooter. Maybe two or three hands at the right time. Oh, Melba would be mighty proud of you if you won yourself $25,000.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Slade.
Well, I'm sorry, too, Shooter, because you leave me no alternative but to remind you of the fact that I'm carrying these markers on you. $12,000 to be...
Those are legitimate markers, and you know it. You gave me 2 years to pay them.
Wait a minute. Just because I'm generous or foolish enough to accept your marker one day doesn't mean I'm going to recognize it the next. No, sir, no. That recognition is null and void if I happen to suddenly realize that you are not of sound mind. You know when I realized that, huh? When I saw you hesitate about accepting that $25,000.
Shooter's brow furrows and his gaze drops to the floor. He steps over to the fireplace and leans his hands against the mantel. Slade exhales cigar smoke as he watches Shooter.
That's right, boy. You just think that over. $25,000 plus $12,000 here, that makes,
37.
37, memory serves.
Slade draws on his cigar. Shooter faces him.
Hey, why are you doing this? It can't be for money.
As for my kind of money, gut money. Oh, see that smug old bastard gutted. Gutted.
Like he gutted you, huh?
Yes, that's right. That's right. Hold it.
Looky here now. Cora Ann and Billy Bob come to say goodnight to their daddy.
Mrs. Slade enters with two children.
Now, my cottontail bunny rabbits. Come in.
Holler if you need anything now.
All right, sure. Thanks, sugar. You want to hear a little bedtime story, About Shooter's wife, Melville?
Shooter glares.
All right.
I know all those stories.
Well, are you aware of the circumstances in which she left Shreveport, Louisiana?
Yes, I'm aware.
Well, some people don't know the story. I think they'd enjoy hearing it. It's a story that deserves to be told. Now, listen carefully, children. Once upon a time, down in Shreveport, Louisiana, there was this bad little girl named Melba Nile.
Now, Melba enters her apartment and flips on the light. As she steps further into the room, the kid stops in the doorway, waits, then enters. Melba turns on the radio as the kid looks around the front room.
Relax. Shooter'll be along. Why don't you make us a drink? You know where it is.
The kid opens the top-loading doors of a cabinet. As he flips the doors open, a tray of liquor bottles rises from the middle. On the other side of an open archway, Melba removes her dress, revealing a slip.
All that dust at the pit, I always feel so dirty after one of those things.
She steps out of sight.
Brings out the best in you, Melba.
The kid pours a drink.
What does that funny little country gal bring out in you?
The kid drops the crystal bottle stopper back in place and faces the archway to the other room. Melba reappears, wearing a sheer black robe over her slip. As she grins at the kid, he stares at her, stone-faced. Keeping her eyes on him, the sexy redhead puts her hand on her hip and leans against the doorframe. She stalks toward the kid, seductively swaying her hips. He hands her a drink.
See anything you like? About the dance, I mean. Now, don't tell me Shooter's your oldest and best friend.
That's right.
He's mine, too, honey. Next, you're gonna say he's like a father to you.
You see what that leaves us?
Yeah.
As the kid lights a cigarette, Melba looks him up and down. Melba slowly backs toward the phone, biting her lower lip. She turns and answers.
Yeah. Oh, hi, Sugar. Well, then you won't be home for a while.
The kid grabs the phone.
Yeah?
Shooter. Yeah. Is the game set?
8 o'clock Monday, apartment 2A at the old Lafayette.
The old Lafayette. Yeah. Yeah?
Melba fingers the phone cord.
Yeah, she seemed to have a pretty good time.
Yeah, she's a fun girl.
Yeah.
At the pool hall, Shooter looks off despondently and hangs up the phone. In the apartment, Melba tugs the phone away from the kid and sets it down. The kid grabs hold of her slip under her cleavage and pulls her close. They gaze into each other's eyes, then lock in a kiss. As they embrace, the kid puts Melba's arms around his neck. His hands caress her back, then move down toward her behind.
Bastard.
The kid smiles and heads for the door. Melba scowls,
I hope you lose.
The kid turns back to her on his way out.
Thanks, baby.
He leaves. Melba glares and mouths something. In the pool hall, the man with glasses, Hoban, uses the phone.
Day after tomorrow at the old Hotel Lafayette, 8 o'clock. Yeah, you better let them know. They're going to be full up from what I hear.
The kid approaches.
Same to you. You know that? Where's Kid Jolly from Boston?
Seen Shooter.
No, not today. Call all the way from Boston. And lady fingers, I guess he knows he's coming, and he yelled from Memphis. There'll be a lot of money in town.
Shooter enters.
Hey, how's it going? Hoban tell you about Yeller?
Yeah, I just tell him.
The kid eyes the two men.
I see you later.
Hey, kid. Hey, what's wrong?
Jack Doyle's laying 12 to 5 on Lancey.
Jack Doyle, now listen, that's old money, conservative money. That's always on the man. Listen, kid, there's plenty of money on you, too.
It's the waiting, that's all. I'm ready now, and I gotta wait.
Don't let the odds rattle you now. That's the worst thing that can happen to you. Look, stay loose, relax.
It's not the odds, I told you. It's the wait.
Listen, just relax.
I'll see you later, Shooter.
The kid heads up some stairs away from Shooter.
Hey, kid!
Nighttime. The kid walks through a courtyard in the pouring rain. The heavy droplets soak his hair and coat. Later, he heads down a dimly lit alley. A sign over a nearby door reads, "For rent, furnished apartments." A woman in a red dress watches the kid from the doorway.
Hi, honey.
The kid keeps moving, and the woman watches him with a grin. Now, the kid heads through a wrought iron gate and stops beside an open door. Inside, a group of men sit around playing instruments. The kid listens from the doorway as an old woman at a piano sings. The kid looks on with a serene and distant gaze. The old woman has deep-set eyes, and her rotting teeth jut out from behind her puffy lips. The kid leans against the door frame. He purses his lips and starts to leave. In the pouring rain, the kid ambles back to the gate. He pushes the door open and stops. Gazing downward, the kid stands motionless as the raindrops pound the pavement. He grabs the gate and pushes it closed behind him. As the kid rushes off, the door swings open again. Later, the kid lies on his bed facing the ceiling. He takes a drag from a cigarette. Knitting his brow, he turns his head and looks off despondently. His gaze drifts in thought as he rests the hand holding the cigarette by his head. Taking a deep breath, he sits up on the edge of the mattress. A glass lamp at his bedside casts a dim light over the room. The kid gets to his feet and takes another drag. Exhaling the smoke, he looks out his open window at the rain. The kid turns his head. Dark shadows edge his rugged features. He takes a puff on his cigarette, flicks it out the window, and rushes off. Daytime. On a country road, a bus pulls away, revealing the kid standing by a rickety wooden gate. He watches the bus head off, then turns to the dirt driveway which runs through a green field. The kid pushes the gate open a bit and squeezes through. Later, the kid walks down the dirt road past a rusted windmill. He approaches a small farmhouse surrounded by bare trees. A dozen chickens roam the yard. The kid steps through an opening in a white picket fence. More chickens scatter as he heads toward the house. Inside, Christian stirs a pot on the stove as an older woman wearing an apron works at a counter. They both look up and spot the kid peering through the screen door. Christian smiles and opens it for him.
Hi, kid.
Hi.
What is this surprise? Did you come on the bus?
Well, yeah, I just came by to see how you were doing.
Kristen smiles and fidgets with her hair.
Mama, this is Eric.
How do you do, Ms. Rudd?
Howdy.
The kid and Kristen lock gazes.
Why don't you sit down and I'll fix you something to eat?
No, I had something to eat in town.
Come on.
She motions for him to sit, and he does. Christian heads back to the stove, keeping her eyes on the kid. He adjusts the collar of his jacket and gives a polite smile to Mrs. Rudd. She glances at him, then quickly averts her gaze. The kid's smile drops. Christian watches the kid with a bright grin. He gives her a nod and a smile.
There's some hot biscuits in the warmer.
Later, Christian runs down a hill, leading the kid by the hand. They slow to a stop, and the kid rests his back against a tree. Christian leans into him, and they embrace in a passionate kiss. Christian buries her head in the kid's shoulder, then pulls him forward.
Come on.
Christian races down the grassy hill, spotted with trees. The kid stumbles along after her, looking over his shoulder. The sunlight brightens Christian's hair, which bounces with each footstep. Holding hands, Christian leads the kid to the bank of a small creek. She sits on the grass, leaning up against a long tree trunk on the ground. The kid sits down next to her. She snuggles up against his chest, and he nuzzles her hair.
I used to come here and play when I was little. I'd dream mostly.
Yeah? About what?
Oh, just things that little girls dream about.
The kid kisses the top of Christian's head as she gazes out over the rocky creek. She wraps her arms around his waist and snuggles up close to his chest. As he kisses and nuzzles the back of her head, she smiles.
Story I heard about a wishing stone somewhere on the bank of the Mississippi. And I used to play like this creek was the Mississippi, and that rock over there was a wishing stone. And if you kissed it and made a wish, it'd come true.
What was the wish?
Somebody come and take me away from here to some big city like New Orleans or Mobile.
She gazes up at him and smiles coyly. They start to kiss. As their kiss grows more passionate, the kid rolls Christian onto her back. They hold each other in a tight embrace, and Christian runs her hands through the kid's hair. Now, in the Rudd's dining room, Christian's father stares warily at the kid. He and Christian lock eyes across the table as the young couple sips from coffee cups.
Sure was a good dinner, Miss Rudd.
Just our usual.
She starts to clear the plates.
Christian, help your mother with the dishes.
No, we got any cards.
Cards?
Yeah, them playing cards. We used to have some.
May still be some in that drawer over there. I don't know how good they are.
Christian pulls out a deck of cards from the drawer and sets them in front of the kid.
Now, you can show Papa some of them tricks.
Tricks?
Yeah, like you done with that little shoeshine boy.
Mr. Rudd starts to get up.
I best get on with my evening chores.
Oh, please, Papa. Oh, you'll like it.
The unshaven farmer sits back down. Christian rests her elbows on the table and looks to the kid. Her father watches him skeptically. Christian urges the kid on with a nod. The kid glances from her to Mr. Rudd, then picks up the deck. He fans the cards across the table, face up.
Pick a card, Mr. Rudd.
The kid tips the last card, causing all of the overlapping cards to flip face down. Mr. Rudd runs his finger over the cards.
Any card you want.
He slides one out from the middle and looks at it.
Three of hearts.
Mr. Rudd gapes at his daughter.
Damnest thing I ever did see.
Hey, you gotta come in and see this one. Come on,
come on.
It's the best yet. Come on in.
You got any idea what time it is?
Come on, get over here, Come on, I want you to see this. Now you look good.
Sure, Eric. All right, Miss Rudd. Now just take a card, any card at all.
The kid flips the deck over again, and Mrs. Rudd apprehensively reaches for a card.
Don't show it to me.
The Rudds look at it.
The three is spades.
She drops it. The kid grins at the family. Now Lancey sits on the edge of his hotel bed facing a portable chess set. He looks at his steady hands, then at his pocket watch. The old man lies back on the bed. He wears a silk smoking jacket and holds a lit cigar between his fingers. In the country, the bus pulls away, leaving Christian alone at the roadside. She watches the bus leave. Now at Shooter's apartment, Melba sits on the bed, plucking her eyebrows. Shooter lies beside her, staring off.
Are you playing tonight or just dealing?
She turns her attention from her hand mirror to Shooter.
Are you playing tonight?
Yes, I'm playing tonight. I'm playing.
How much are you going to win, Shooter?
Melba, I'll win something. Don't you worry about it. 25 years. I've been building a reputation for 25 years. My honesty, integrity...
Shooter, remember what you said about cheating yourself?
Oh, what are you talking about?
You know what I'm talking about.
Shooter glares, sits up, and faces Melba squarely.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'm not going to give him any help unless he needs it.
Good old honest Shooter. You know, you remind me more and more of my first husband. He was a loser, too.
Well, I'm no loser. The kid could break lucky and stay ahead the whole game, couldn't he? Well, it could happen, couldn't it?
Sure it could happen. I mean, be there to see that it does.
Melba cradles his chin and quickly retracts her hand. Shooter looks at her with wild eyes, then angrily turns his back to her. Melba leans into her lacy pillows, gives a satisfied smile, and stretches her arms. Now, the kid takes a worn envelope from his dresser drawer and pulls a wad of cash from it. He flips through the bills and returns them to the envelope, which he puts in an overnight bag. He adds to the bag a new shirt, a handful of toiletries, and 5 packs of cigarettes. Wearing a dress shirt, tie, and slacks, the kid gathers a few more necessities and zips the bag shut. Meanwhile, in Lancey's hotel room, the old man places a neatly folded shirt into a briefcase along with a visor, some toiletries, and a box of cigars. Several small stacks of money are laid on the table in front of him. He flips through the first stack, then gathers all of them together, squares them flush, and places the single stack in his briefcase. By the dim light of his bedside lamp, Lancey snaps the case shut. In the kid's living room, Cincinnati sets down his overnight bag and puts on a sports coat. He checks a watch from his coat pocket, then sits on a couch. He takes a thin book from a nearby table and flips it open. A title on the first page reads, New Practical Exercises in Rapid Calculation. 2 columns of math problems fill the page. The kid lays a playing card under the first problem, then slides it down to the next. Now, Lancey heads toward his hotel room door with his briefcase in one hand and a cane and overcoat in the other. He pauses momentarily in the suite, then opens the door. As he flips off the light from the hall silhouettes his stout frame. He shuts the door behind him, leaving the room pitch black. Now, a taxi cab pulls to a stop in front of a hotel. An elegant curved overhang juts above the door. In the back seat of the cab, the kid checks his watch.
Take me around the block a couple of times.
Inside, Lancey faces Shooter.
You did tell the kid 8 o'clock, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Well?
Hi, everybody!
Lady!
Ladyfinger! Doctor! Oh, lovely.
Ladyfinger.
Yella, good to see you, Yella.
Hiya.
Hi, Holmes.
Ladyfingers. You know the missus doing?
Yeah, Mrs. Holmes. Melba.
She spots Shooter.
Sorry I'm late, Shooter.
Lady.
What do you say, sweetheart?
Ladyfingers smiles at Lancey.
Lancey Howard, the man himself.
They shake hands.
My pleasure, Ladyfingers.
You don't get around these parts much anymore.
No, that's true. I suppose it's more a matter of climate than anything else.
No other reason?
What other reason could there be?
The Cincinnati kid. That's what they're saying, Lancey. You've been scared of the kid.
He nods thoughtfully.
Should I be?
As Lancey frowns, their eyes turn toward the door.
Damn right.
Lancey scrutinizes the kid, shaking hands with Pig, then Doc, the man with the fountain pen. The kid receives a kiss on the cheek from Melba. Hoban, the man in round glasses, extends his hand.
Hey, you come up slashing, you hear?
Slade grins at him from across the room. The kid faces a gentleman with a caramel complexion.
Hello, Yella.
Huh?
Kill that cat, kid.
Hello, kid. How are you feeling?
Well, I'm feeling great. It's good to see you again, lady.
Lamp's close.
Grinning, the kid gazes past her to Lancey, who stands alone in front of the wet bar, staring back. Shooter smiles at him.
Well,
He rubs his hands together.
Let's get started.
Shooter ushers the kid toward Lancey.
Lancey! This is Eric Stoner, the Cincinnati kid. Lancey Howard.
The contender faces Lancey.
I'm glad to know you, Lancey.
The kid extends his hand.
My pleasure.
They shake.
How's town treating you?
New Orleans always been good to me.
The kid smiles and drops his eyes.
Well, that's fine. Of course, towns do change, though, don't they?
The kid studies Lancey's face, which stays blank.
They tell me you're quite a stud player, young man.
Do they?
That's right. New York, Chicago, Miami. Oh, I've been hearing about you for a couple of years now.
He looks at Yeller.
Yeller there tells me how you gutted him once with a pair of paws.
That's right. Remember, kid? The night you cut me up with the two red fours? Must have overplayed my hand.
Yeller and the kid grin. Lancey's face remains serious.
Well, that's a dangerous thing to do.
Well, it depends who you're sitting with, Lancey.
Lancey meets the kid's gaze, thoughtfully looks him up and down, then steps away from the bar.
Well, let's play some cards.
Well, Ben, here.
I've already looked around, so if you want to have a look at things.
Thanks, Lancey. I think I will.
The kid drops to one knee and peers under the round table in the room's center. He then looks inside the Tiffany-stained glass shade of the hanging lamp. Lancey sits and gazes up at the kid, who looks down from the ornate lampshade to meet the man's stare. The kid sits across from Lancey. Their eyes stay fixed on each other. Hoban cuts open a brown leather pouch and dumps a couple dozen unopened decks of cards on the table. Lancey and the kid squint at and sniff each deck.
Well, they come from the New Orleans Bridge Club, and they've been bonded by the steward. I seen him take them right out of the safe himself. And Shooter, Ladyfingers and me just carry them right here.
The two men study each deck's packaging.
Hoban's selling them to us at $5 a pack with the usual guarantee. If it's proved any deck has been juiced, he pays off the losers.
Who's sitting down with us?
The four of us. Me, Pig Yeller, and Doc here. Doc SoCal. If that's all right with the both of you.
Okay.
As the other players sit, the kid and Lancey give the decks to Shooter, who puts them in a leather satchel. The kid reaches into the breast pocket of his gray suit and takes out an envelope of money.
Now, kid, what's your game?
Stud poker.
Lancey smiles and nods. The kid smiles back at him, then counts his money.
Gentlemen, if there are no objections, I'm the dealer.
Shooter sits between Lancey and Pig.
These rooms have been contracted for, and the ante will be $10 per chair per day.
The men lay their money on the table. Slade and Melba look on from one corner.
During the breaks for me, Ladyfingers has agreed to deal, but she, don't care to be a player.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, Ladyfingers. You know how much I enjoy your high style of playing.
You got a lot of style yourself, Lancey.
Thank you.
She leans into Shooter's ear.
Hope it holds up.
Ladyfingers smiles at the kid. She's led out by Slade's driver, Felix, who guards the door.
Gentlemen, this game is five-card stud poker.
He opens a box of cards and displays them.
There's no limit, no string bets.
He removes the jokers.
You can check and raise. A dead man has 1/2 hour to raise his roll outside and get back in the game.
Shooter smoothly gathers up the deck. With a glance to Lancey on his left, he shuffles. The players and onlookers watch his quick, skilled hands. Pig chews a thick cigar. Yeller puffs a thin one. Doc twists and stretches a rubber band around his fingers and plucks it with his thumb. Lancey shifts his eyes from the cards to the kid and finds the younger man staring at him. Shooter carefully smooths and aligns the deck, then offers it to Pig to cut. Pig wraps his knuckles on the table, then each player counterclockwise does the same in turn. Shooter deals Lancey the first card, then Doc, Yeller, the kid, Pig, and himself.
Ace, seven, nine, Trey, dealer guns up a 10, ace bets.
Lancey sets down his drink.
$10.
Call the solver.
I'll play.
I'm in.
Off and running, dealer folds. 8 to the ace, king to the 7, queen to the 9, pair of 9s, deuce, pair of 9s bets.
Double solver.
I don't chase the 9s.
Hold.
Pig, Shooter, Lancey, Doc, and Yeller turn their cards face down. As the kid gathers up the money from the center of the table, Lancey calmly eyes him. Shooter, in his blue suit and striped tie, deals the face-down cards, then follows with a round face-up.
Queen, four, ten, king, and an ace to the man.
He glances toward Lancey.
Ace bets $25.
He tosses out some bills. Doc and Yeller fold.
I can't get started.
The kid stares across the table with a smile.
Call.
Pig stays in.
Keep dealing.
Shooter bows out.
King folds.
Hoban watches through a lorgnette.
Shooter folded a king.
Shooter knows what he's doing. He's a percentage player. Isn't that right, Melba?
That's what they say, Mr. Slade.
Well, he better be if he's going to remain anything at all.
Tens bet.
100.
Pig and Lancey follow.
Came here to play.
Hi, man.
Oh.
Shooter deals to the kid, Pig, and Lancey.
Queen to the tens. 10. Pair of fives.
2.5.
How much?
250.
Chewing gum and holding a cigar, Pig grins.
Make it 500 and see you both run.
Lancey coolly eyes the grinning fat man, then drops his gaze. Pig glances excitedly at the kid.
You're five, and,
Pig stares at Lancey.
Up two.
Another 200.
1,000.
Pig freezes.
2,000.
Hoban gapes.
Hey, Lance is out for the quick kill.
My bet. You're 2,000. Three more. I'm 2,000 light.
No, you're not.
Slade walks up from behind. The kid purses his lips. Pig turns to watch the backer count out the money. Frowning thoughtfully, Lancey peers up at Slade as he lays the money on the table in front of the kid. The kid picks up the cash and drops it onto the pot.
Pot's right.
5,000 to you, Pig.
Sweating, Pig puffs his cigar.
That's pretty sweet. I jack it up and get whipped on both sides.
He slams his cards face down. Shooter gathers them.
Lancey?
Lancey holds his cigar in front of him and gazes over it into the kid's clear blue eyes. Lancey folds.
Your deck, please.
He's no chase the kid away.
The kid stands and leans over the table to pull the pile of bills toward him. Lancey smiles wryly, strikes a wooden match, and lights his cigar. Shooter divides the spent deck into three stacks, tears each stack in half, and drops them into Hoban's hat. Later, a gold wristwatch in the center of the table reads 12:15. Pig's rolled-up sleeves show his bare forearms.
Read 'em and weep, boys. Aces up! Thank you, gentlemen.
He pulls a large pile of money toward him.
Be funny if the two champs got cleaned up, huh, Yeller?
Yeah, man. Absolutely hilarious.
Ladyfingers faces Hoban.
The action.
Pig's ahead about a grand, and the kid maybe 1,200. Yeller's up.
Lancey?
Well, the kid hit him once, and he ain't come back yet.
You'll take out Pig first.
Back at the table.
King bets. This king, and my natural rhythm, says $20.
Ha! In for 20.
Hold.
I'm in.
In. Pair of jacks. 10. Jack to the king. 7 to the queen. Pair of jacks bets.
The jack of diamonds, the jack of clubs, and a face-down card lie in front of Lancey.
Pair of jacks will venture $100.
With the 9 and 10 of clubs showing, Doc makes notes with his fountain pen.
Also.
Yeller's hand shows a king and a jack.
Man, I'm outside.
He folds. Pig chomps his cigar over a queen and a 7. He sits with his button-on collar undone.
I'll up at 200.
Lancey could be laying for him with 3 jacks.
I'll see the 200.
Pig don't think so.
As the kid and Yeller look on, Shooter deals to Lancey, Doc, and Pig.
10 to the jacks. Possible straight. Pair of 7s.
Lancey points to Pig's cards.
Check those 7s.
Likewise.
Pig cautiously touches his stack of money.
I'll, bet the size of the pot.
He throws in a wad of bills.
980.
As Pig reaches for a tumbler with some liquor in it, Lancey counts out some bills.
Call the 980.
He adds his money to the pot.
Doc
remains focused on his notebook, then looks up.
Up, Lancey.
He counts out the money. Pig eyes him nervously and rubs his nose. Shooter deals.
Trade to the jacks.
He deals to Doc.
Busted.
No straight, no flush.
Pig receives his card.
9 to the 7s. Jack's bet.
Check.
Beads of perspiration form on Pig's face as he uneasily fingers his money.
Pair of sevens says,
The kid lights a cigarette, watching him.
Pair of sevens says $1,500.
He smiles confidently at Lancey, then puffs on his cigar. Lancey calmly stares at him, mouths his own cigar, and picks up his money.
I'll call you $1,500 and raise you,
Pig draws on his cigar and puffs smoke out through his nose. He watches Lancey count out more bills.
$2,500.
As Lancey tosses in the money, Pig fixes an anguished stare on the man.
25 to you, Pig.
Pig nervously glances around and taps his finger, then faces Lancey.
Haven't got it.
Slade looks on.
How much have you got?
As Pig counts his money, Shooter twiddles his thumbs. Slade gapes, a cigar hanging between his lips.
1,100?
Lancey nods and reaches for the pot.
All right, then we'll make it 1,100.
Pig gapes as Lancey retrieves the balance of the bet.
All right. 10, 14.
Pig drops his eyes to his money and cards. Lancey lights a cigar, and Pig glances up. As Lancey meets his gaze, Pig averts his eyes.
1,100 to you, Pig.
Shooter presses his thumbs together. Pig's brown eyes glance about the table. His lips twitch nervously.
No. I won't call.
He chomps his cigar. As Lancey reaches for the pot, Pig lunges across the table.
Take it easy, Pig.
The kid puts his hand on Pig's shoulder.
Show me out.
Glaring at Lancey, Pig grabs his jacket and what money he has left. Slade faces him.
Let him take you out.
Pig bolts for the door, pushing aside an onlooker. He glares back at the table.
Thanks, Lancey.
Lancey focuses on the money.
Thanks a lot.
As Pig storms out, Lancey faces the kid.
Not very lucky, is he?
Lancey coolly stacks his winnings.
He never has been.
The kid studies Lancey as the old pro busies himself arranging his money on the table. Shooter shuffles the cards. His eyes dart between Lancey and the kid.
Look, No, it's a little early. What do you say we take a break, huh?
Yeah, let's go a while.
Later, Melba hands Slade a drink and Shooter a coffee.
Kindly, Melba.
Thank you.
Shooter gives her a kiss on the cheek.
You know, Melba, it always distresses me, a man like Shooter here reaching his middle years and still having no assurance of next week's income.
I know what you mean, Mrs. Slade.
Don't you find that kind of disturbing?
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
Shooter slips away past Lancey and Ladyfingers.
And Spider-Man died kind of slow. Mm-hmm. First they took a kidney, and then a gallbladder, and then they took his whole damn stomach. Mm-hmm. You remember Spider-Man, don't you, Lancey?
Who?
Spider-Man. He was about your age.
Oh, yes, yes.
Ladyfingers, will you please help me with the food?
He died kind of slow.
Shooter whisks her away.
Yeah, man. Why don't you come on up to Memphis? Things are hot up there. Wait a minute. I'll get my hat and go with you.
Yeller leaves the kid with Lancey at the wet bar. As Lancey replenishes his tumbler with whiskey, the kid slices a lemon. Then the two men trade glances. Lancey looks off and gestures at the room.
Good crowd.
Yeah.
The kid smiles.
You know, kid, you're the best stud poker player I've seen in 35 years, Mac.
The kid stares at him.
Thank you, Lancey.
The kid grins.
You know, that was a sweet thing you did to the pig with those jacks.
He bites into the lemon.
You saw that coming, did you?
Yeah, I saw it coming.
Before I raised?
I saw it coming, Lancey.
The kid pours himself a shot.
You ever play down Miami?
Not yet.
Oh, beautiful town. A lot of loose money around. You ought to come down sometime.
Yeah, I might do that.
You gotta have good nerves. You know, you lose the feel of the cards when there's so much action day in and day out. Bless your nerves.
Lancey stares at him.
Oh, yours, kid.
They've been worse.
The kid stares back, and Lancey nods slightly.
Oh, I'm not keeping you from anyone, am I?
No.
Girl, maybe?
No.
Don't you have a girl?
The kid looks downward.
Yeah, well, she's out of town right now.
His gaze lifts to meet Lancey's.
No unpleasantness, I hope.
Lancey stares at the younger man, then drops his eyes.
Well.
He gives a sympathetic nod.
Women are a universal problem in our business. because it's purely an academic question with me now. But in looking back, I think it's best not to look for a fixed thing. Just tie into something nice when you're away from the action and...
The kid turns away.
Let it wear itself out.
The kid gives Lancey a blank stare.
Boys, how about some food?
Right with you, Shooter. I'm glad we have this little chat.
The kid nods.
I know we can be friends. Regardless of what happens.
Yeah, that's right, Lancey. Regardless.
The two players lift their glasses. Later, Ladyfingers addresses the players.
The whole new deal. Good hands all around, prosperity for everybody.
Her agile, wrinkled hands flamboyantly fan the deck of cards, cut them, then sandwich the stacks together. Bright orange polish covers her nails. Lancey sits to her left with his hands folded. He watches her skillful manipulations.
You have lost your touch, Ladyfingers.
She smiles at him.
You hear Whistling Sam's gone, Lancey?
No, I haven't heard.
Yeah, I had to go down to the morgue to identify him.
She deals the face-down cards.
He's a little bit younger than you, isn't he?
Just deal, lady.
A deuce to the man. King.
Later, at the suite's floor-to-ceiling windows, sunshine filters through the gauzy curtains, which ripple in the breeze. A china cup and saucer rest on a table. A newspaper lies across one of the empty folding chairs. Ladyfingers sleeps, curled up on one end of the sofa, and Hoban slumps against its other arm. The five haggard players sit around the table.
It's yours, Shooter.
In the smoke-filled room, Shooter takes the money.
Hoban?
Hoban peers through his lorgnette.
Do you mind shutting those drapes?
In his stocking feet, Hoban stands.
Well, that makes me about even, gentlemen.
Hoban pulls the drapes.
A game like this, that's a smart place to quit. It's all right with all of you. I'll just do the dealing.
As Shooter deals, Doc writes in his notebook.
Ace-king bets.
Yeller cranes to watch him.
Doc, you're high ace-king bets.
One moment, please.
As Doc finishes his calculations, Yeller peers at him with sleepy eyes. Behind them, a waiter tends to a breakfast table. Doc counts out a wad of bills, then picks up more money in front of him. He plunks it on the table.
930.
Melba brings a coffee pot.
You and that damn book.
Yeller folds.
What are you writing in that book, Sokol?
Ignoring Yeller, Doc faces Lancey.
930 to you, Lancey.
Lancey calls.
What do we got?
It doesn't matter. If you can call, you can beat. Ace, king, seven.
Ace, king, ten.
Doc drops his head despairingly.
How about that mess? I had them both beat with a pair of fives.
Yeller tosses his cards.
Why do you keep betting out like that for, man?
The bet was correct. He should not have called.
He shouldn't, are you?
Doc angrily tosses his cards toward Shooter.
Better write yourself a new book, Daddy.
Yeller picks up his money and stands.
Gentlemen, I'm wasted. I'll settle for the 1700 that I've already lost. Later.
He grabs his jacket.
Gentlemen, I too will withdraw.
Doc stands, gathers his money from the table, takes his jacket off the back of his chair, and leaves.
Well, just the two of us, kid.
Deal him up, Shooter.
In the dim room, the three men sit under the stark light of the hanging lamp. A few onlookers remain.
Cost you a grand.
Shooter and the kid watch Lancey count out some bills from his stash.
Well.
Lancey removes his cigar from his lips.
Compulsory call, kid.
He puts his money down. The kid turns over his fifth card and takes his winnings. Later, Lancey reaches for the pot.
Two pair. Jack's up.
King's up.
Lancey stares as the kid turns over his face-down card and sits back. The kid takes the pot. Later, Shooter taps the table.
Last card.
He deals to Lancey.
Nine to the kings.
He deals to the kid.
Ace. Pair of aces bets.
Bet the pot, 2,700.
Leaning his face on his hand, Lancey casts the kid a weary look, then folds. As Shooter reaches for the winner's cards, the kid firmly places his hand on them. He turns them face down, then slides them toward the dealer. Shooter meets the kid's eyes and takes the cards. Later, Lancey bets on another hand.
2,000.
Oh.
Shooter taps the table.
Last card.
He deals to Lancey.
Three sevens.
He deals to the kid.
Two pair, tens and sixes, three sevens bets.
2,000 more.
The kid's eyes dart from Shooter to Lancey.
Take it, Lancey.
Shooter looks up.
I can't beat 3-7.
Lancey takes the pot.
I'd like to take a break now and get some sleep. I know it's not my place because I'm winners, but I'm saying it anyhow.
Oh, sure. We'll start again at 5, all right?
Right.
The kid stands and gathers his money. As Shooter divides the deck into 3 stacks, Hoban steps forward with his hat. Shooter rips each stack of cards in half and tosses in the scraps. Shooter and the kid exchange a look as the kid leaves. Shooter glances at Lancey, then puts his satchel on the table, locks it, and hands it to Hoban on his way out. As Lancey sits patiently sorting his money, Hoban takes the satchel away. Felix gets his coat and leaves the room. At the table, Lancey sits alone in the pale light. Ladyfingers approaches from behind and puts her arm around his shoulder.
How's it going, Lancey?
His brow lifts.
Lady, that young man is a stud poker playing son of a...
He's getting to you, huh, Lancey?
As Ladyfingers pats him on the back and leaves, Lancey smiles at her.
No, not yet, he isn't.
Lancey gazes at his money. Now the kid opens a hotel room door numbered 601. He stands with the door open and turns just as Shooter comes down the hall. Seeing the kid, Shooter halts, then enters. The kid closes the door.
You know, I folded winners in that last hand.
No, that's a hell of a thing to do.
Yeah, well, I got so lucky getting that 5th card, I got embarrassed.
Are you crazy? That's no way to play poker.
So I thought it was time to ask you what the hell you're trying to pull.
Nothing. What are you talking about?
You, Shooter, man. You've been dealing me cards for an hour.
The kid grabs Shooter by the vest and slams him against the door.
No, kid. No, listen, kid. Kid, even if I was, nobody could spot it. Now, you know that, huh? I'm too good a mechanic.
The two men stare at each other as the kid slowly relaxes his hold on Shooter. He slings his hands free and steps back. Frozen against the door, Shooter stares at him as the kid turns away, crosses the room, and rubs his forehead. Shooter glances at his clothes, clutching his rumpled vest. The kid sits on a bench at the foot of the bed.
Kid.
Shooter shakes his head.
You gotta understand, this wasn't my idea.
Shooter steps toward him and drops to one knee.
But look, Slade's got the squeeze on me. Do you think I want to deal a phony hand? You think it don't mean something to me?
Now,
me,
you
my
get
reputation?
This straight. No fix. And you deal it clean or I'll blow it wide
but
open.
Slade won't buy that.
Slade ain't gonna know. I'm gonna win this game, Shooter.
Brushing aside Shooter's hand, the kid springs to his feet.
And I'm gonna win it my way.
The kid gives the kneeling man a sharp nod.
And you ride along with it or you're out.
The kid steps behind Shooter.
You're finished.
Shooter stares blankly ahead. The kid walks deeper into the room. Turning, Shooter sees the kid holding the telephone. The kid stares down at him intently.
Okay, kid.
The kid lifts the phone to his ear.
I want to leave a call for 4 p.m. sharp. Yeah.
The kid hangs up and stares off. Shooter gazes at the man from the floor. The kid stands broodingly by an archway to an adjoining room, then passes through it, leaving Shooter alone. As the kid leaves, Shooter leans against the bench and pushes himself to his feet. He stares after the kid and takes a couple of steps toward the archway, then stops. With his head down, Shooter turns around and shambles out. Now in his room, Lancey stiffly pushes himself out of an armchair and presses his hands against his back. He sits on the bed and lifts the phone receiver.
This is Lancey Howard. Could you call me in a couple of hours, please? Thank you.
Lancey hangs up and stares wearily at the floor.
No, lady, he hasn't gotten through to me yet.
He nods to the empty room, then starts to recline.
That he damn well might.
With effort, Lancey lifts his legs onto the mattress and lies back on the bedspread, still wearing his clothes. Now in the kid's room, Melba furtively opens the door and cranes her head around it. Seeing no one, she steps inside wearing a fitted spaghetti strap dress. Melba carefully closes the door and locks it behind her. With a faint, sly smile, she tiptoes across the room to the bed. Eyes closed, the kid lies with the blanket up around his shoulders, facing away from the woman. Melba cautiously lifts the blanket and slips off her shoes. She slides under the covers beside the sleeping man and presses her smiling lips close to his ear.
Good afternoon, sir. It's 4 o'clock.
The kid blinks and rolls his face toward her. He turns away and checks his pocket watch.
It's only 25 to 4. You can stay right where you are.
Melba,
shh. I came to wake you up.
She snuggles his bare shoulder.
You are awake, aren't you?
He rubs his eyes.
Yeah, I'm awake.
Well?
His droopy eyes look at her.
You're quite a girl, Melba.
Still worried about shooting?
As she fingers his arm, the kid looks off. Then his eyes open wide. He faces Melba's smile, takes hold of her wrist, and lifts her hand, placing it around his neck. As he slides his other arm under her, her teasing smile melts. Her eyes sparkle as the kid brings his lips close to hers and rolls her onto her back. Melba's arms press around him. Under the blanket, he swings his leg over her. Later, Melba sits at the room's vanity mirror combing her red hair. Melba glances at the door, then over her other shoulder.
You want to get that, honey? I ordered some coffee.
Melba gets up, struts to the door, and opens it. Christian enters, smiling. Her eyes dart over Melba's shoulder.
Christian.
The kid emerges from the bathroom. Melba drops her eyes.
They took a break in the game to get some sleep, and Shooter sent me to wake him up.
As the redhead fidgets with her comb, the kid takes in Christian's glare. His lips form a tense smile, and he slings a towel to the floor. Melba glances over her shoulder.
Well, I guess I better get back downstairs.
She drops the comb on the dresser.
See you later.
As Christian stares at the kid with her hand on the doorknob, Melba breezes out past her without a glance. The kid furrows his brow and blinks under Christian's disappointed stare. He drops his eyes and finishes buttoning up his shirt.
You've got a great sense of timing, Christian.
Christian leans her forehead against the door and sobs. The kid fumbles with a shirt button and looks up. With a disheartened smile, Christian withdraws into the hall and pulls the door shut behind her. Now, Hoban dumps a hatful of ripped-up cards into a copper basin with brass handles. A burly man approaches.
C'est pas si quelque chose.
Anything happened?
Nah, Kid Parrot King's 100.
Shooter deals to Lancey.
Eight.
He deals to the kid.
Five. Wait a minute.
Onlookers crowd the room.
What have you got?
A later hand.
3-9.
Onlookers watch with rapt attention.
8'll bet 200.
Lancey drops his eyes.
No stay.
Slade stands beside Melba.
No deck, please.
Later, another hand is played out.
200.
Lancey looks at his cards.
And up 5.
Hoban stares, gripping his suspenders.
Jack.
The overhead Tiffany lamp grows blurry.
8's bet 2,000.
Gents, I'm declaring a break.
I don't want a break.
I want dealer cards.
She goes to rip the deck.
Same deck is good enough.
No, I'll take a new deck.
All right, give him a new deck.
Deal him.
You want a deal, then deal him yourselves. I'm going to the John. I'm going to get something to eat, and I'm going to take a nap. If you don't like it, you can both go to hell.
Felix opens the door, and Ladyfingers strides out. Slade walks out behind her. The players count their money.
I guess that's it.
Yeah, it looks that way.
How long you want to take?
Well, let's make it an hour, okay with you?
Sure.
As they stand, Lancey jolts and braces himself against the table.
You okay?
Sure. Just a little stiff, that's all.
The kid watches Lancey unsteadily put on his coat and shuffle out. As the old man leaves, Felix approaches the table. The kid finishes gathering up his money.
Slade wants to see you. There's nothing to talk about. It'd be a big mistake to think that, Mr. Stoner. Believe me.
The kid studies Felix's face, then nods. The kid walks out of the suite, and Felix follows, closing the door behind him. Now in his room, Slade sits smoking a cigar.
How you like that steak, kid?
Under Slade's glare, the kid brings a piece of rare steak to his mouth.
It's okay.
He glances to Slade as he chews.
It's good.
He takes another bite. Felix stands at the door looking on.
I thought we should get together and see whether we could settle our differences.
Chewing his steak more slowly, the kid glances at Slade, then at Felix, then at his plate, which is the only one on the table.
What I told the shooter goes.
Well, you gonna say no before we've even discussed it, huh?
With his fork raised, the kid stares at him, then finishes the bite and cuts another.
What am I to think? All my argument's gonna be wasted?
Slade's brow lifts in astonishment.
Why don't you give the kid some more salad there, Felix?
Felix moves to comply.
No thanks.
Felix glares, drops the serving forks, and returns to the door.
Okay.
The kid chews.
We'll skip to the final argument.
Slade cocks his head.
Old Shooter's gonna be dealing again when the game starts. He's gonna give you an occasional helpful card.
As Slade puffs on his cigar, the kid smiles.
You call that an argument?
No, that's a fact. The argument's leaning over there against the door jamb.
The kid glances toward the door where Felix glares grimly. The kid puts down his silverware and dabs his lips with a napkin.
Now let me give you a fact. I'm not gonna let it happen. I'm gonna beat Lancey Howard Slade.
The kid stands.
But I don't need your help to do it.
Slade stares blankly from his chair near the table. The kid starts to leave, and Felix takes a menacing stance between him and the door. As the kid waits, Slade watches and furrows his brow in thought. He stands and puts his hands in his pockets. The kid faces him.
Let him go, Felix.
Felix looks askance at Slade, then steps away from the door and opens it for the kid. The kid exits past the bald driver. Now at the poker table, Shooter shuffles the cards and glances up at Slade. The kid eyes the look that passes between them. Under the kid's intense glare, Shooter drops his blank gaze to the cards he's shuffling, then slides the deck aside to be cut.
What's the matter with you, Shooter?
Melba and Slade look over with alarm.
You don't look too good. Why don't you lay down for a while?
You feeling all right?
No, I'm okay. What are you talking about?
Know what I'm talking about. He's been sick all night.
No, I'm all right.
Well, you should have said something about it, Shooter. We got lady fingers here, or we can deal ourselves.
I'm fine, Lancey. I tell you, I'm...
Wake up, Lady Fingers. Ask her she's ready to deal.
You ready, Lady Fingers?
Huh?
On the couch, Hoban wakes her, lightly slapping her on the leg. At the table, Shooter nervously flips through the deck.
As Eddie the Dude said on his deathbed, I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
Slade glares as Lady Fingers takes Shooter's chair at the table. As Lady Fingers gets ready to deal, Shooter goes to sit against the wall by himself. The kid snubs out a cigarette and counts his money. Melba stares across the room, as does Slade. Shooter begins tearing up the cards and tossing them. The kid gives him a look, then faces Lancey. Later, the 3, 4, 10, and ace of clubs lie over one face-down card.
I can't persuade myself you have the flush.
Lancey tosses some money into the pot. The kid turns over the face-down card. It's the jack of clubs.
I'm going to pay the price to look at that third nine.
Now, the kid turns over a third nine.
They say the jack isn't there.
In this hand, the kid turns over the needed jack. Later, Lancey rubs his eyes. He squints up at the Tiffany lamp, then across the table at the younger player.
My bet. Top five.
The kid slings down some bills. Lancey frowns.
Four.
Lancey unbuttons his collar.
The kid's budging him now.
Slade bends over Melba.
The man's crumbling. The kid's gonna take him yet.
Later, Ladyfingers deals the first face-up cards of a new game.
Eight.
Lancey gets the eight of diamonds.
Ten. Ten bets.
500.
The kid's face-up card is the ten of clubs. He puts down the money. Lancey hesitates, then calls the bet.
Yeah.
Pot right. Queen and two diamonds.
She deals the kid his third card.
Pair of tens.
Both are black.
Tens bet.
The kid peels off a wad of bills.
$1,000.
Off to the side, Hoban glares at the burly man, who lifts his elbow off the piano keys.
Up one. 75 to 50, he's paired to queens.
$5,000 to you, kid.
The kid looks intently at Lancey, then counts out some bills.
I'll just call.
Another 10 is dealt. The 10 of diamonds to Lancey.
Three diamonds and a possible.
She deals to the kid.
An ace to the tens.
The kid studies his revealed cards, then the faint smile on Lancey's face.
$3,000.
The onlookers circling the table shift in their chairs. Some stand to get a better view. Others just lean forward. Ladyfingers faces Lancey.
$3,000 to you, Lance.
The old pro rubs his jaw thoughtfully and presses his fist against his lips. He glances up from his cards to the kid, who sits stone-faced. Off to the side, the burly man comments to Hoban.
I know that you will fold. And I don't think he's got the queens. He's going for the flush.
Lancey rubs his goatee as he peers at his cards.
Reasonable bet.
The kid's eyes shift slightly.
He's going for the flush.
Melba and Shooter watch Lancey count out his money.
The kid's got him. He's going all the way.
Lancey tosses his money onto the table.
Deal the cards.
Ladyfingers puckers her lips and deals Lancey's last card.
Nine of diamonds and a possible flush. Possible straight flush.
The kid gets his last card.
The ace of spades, two pair.
Lancey rubs his hands as he stares at the kid.
Two pair bet.
The kid stares back at Lancey and lines up his pair of tens and pair of aces over his face-down card. Across the table, Lancey's manicured fingers gently slide his face-down card out from beneath the eight, nine, ten, and queen of diamonds.
Check to the possible.
Lancey returns the kid's stare, then gathers up a few more bills. The onlookers move in closer.
1,000.
He's got the flush.
The kid leafs through his money, tossing more on the table.
Call your 1,000 and raise.
He picks up the rest of the bills and counts them.
What I've got in front of me.
The kid counts each of his stacks and adds it to the pile in the center of the table. Lancey watches him blankly.
3,500.
Lancey gives a nod and rubs his lip.
That ace must have helped you, kid.
Lancey studies the kid's blank stare, then drops his eyes to the sizable pot between them. He counts out some bills from the stack in front of him, then reaches into his breast pocket and takes out a leather wallet.
Call your 3,500 and I'll raise you,
He counts five bills from his wallet.
5,000.
My God, he's got the jack.
Everyone stares.
Couldn't have the jack.
He didn't have queens, he's got the jack of diamonds.
No. He's trying to buy it.
Lancey's bluffing, ain't he?
Sure he is. He hasn't got the jack, the kid's got it.
Yeah.
The kid blinks his steely blue eyes. Lancey drops his tired gaze to his cards. As the crowd looks on, we hear their thoughts, then the kid's.
The kid's got him.
The kid's got him.
You're right. The kid's got him. I got him. I got the man.
5,000 to you, kid.
Lancey patiently sits with his hand against his lips.
I'll take your marker, kid.
The kid smiles.
I can get the money.
I know you can.
The kid gives Lancey a short nod.
Give us it.
Lancey turns over the jack of diamonds. Our focus zooms to its printed eyes, then to the kid's eyes widening, then to Hoban's, Melba's, Shooter's, and Slade's, all fixed on the red jack's empty stare. Lancey's eyelids droop.
That's 5,000 you owe me, kid.
The kid nods. Shooter and Melba gaze at the table. The pile of money lying in its center and the five diamonds on Lancey's side of the table. Ladyfinger sits with her hands folded on the table.
You still playing, kid?
A trail of perspiration runs down the kid's temple.
No. I'm through.
Lancey reaches for his cigar case.
You raise some tens on a lousy three flush.
Gets down to what it's all about, doesn't it?
He strikes a wooden match.
Making the wrong move at the right time.
The kid drops his gaze.
Is that what it's all about?
The kid turns over his face-down card next to his tens and aces. It's a third ace.
Like life, I guess. You're good, kid. But as long as I'm around, you're second best. You might as well learn to live with it.
Transfixed, the kid stares across the table, then slowly rises to his feet.
What happened, kid?
What's the tab for this whole show?
Men congratulate Lancey. The kid files past Melba and Shooter.
You had to do it, didn't you?
Shooter starts to follow. Slade blocks the kid's path.
Man, you figured for brains. Blew it this time, didn't you, boy? You really blew it.
Ladyfinger stiffly rises from her chair as the onlookers crowd around the table. Outside in the alley, the kid exits the hotel through a side door. He wearily shambles a few steps away, then slowly lowers himself to the curb. He sits with his brow knitted tightly. Breathing heavily, he covers his eyes, then squeezes the skin of his forehead.
Hey, Cincinnati. Come on, man. Come on, Dad. I'm gonna get you one more time. Come on, Mr. Gavity, man. I can cut you. I can do it. Stand up. Come on, Cincinnati, just one more time.
The kid rests his gaze on the shoeshine boy.
Come on, man. What are you afraid of?
The kid purses his lips.
Come on, you get up here. Just one more time.
The kid gets to his feet.
Come on, Daddy. Let's see you
the shoeshine pitches
Come
a coin.
Come on, let's see you cut it. Come on. Come on, man, let's see you cut that.
The kid stands beside the boy and pitches a nickel against a stoop. It bounces off and falls about an inch farther out. The boy runs to the curb and picks up the coins.
You tried too hard, man.
The boy picks up his kit and shoulders it.
You just ain't ready for me yet.
As the boy disappears down the alley, the kid stares blankly at the pavement, then slides his hands into his pockets and walks off. As he rounds the corner, he comes upon Christian. Standing with folded hands by the hotel's bronze nameplate, she turns around and they face each other. Christian steps toward him and puts her arms around him. As she hugs him, the kid looks off with his hands pocketed, then embraces her.
He came with the name Cincinnati.
Credits roll beside a view of Lancey's straight flush in the kid's full house. Cast of characters: Steve McQueen as the Cincinnati Kid, Edward G. Robinson as Lancey Howard, Ann Margaret as Melba, Carl Malden as Shooter, Tuesday Weld as Christian, Joan Blondell as Ladyfingers, Rip Torn as Slade, Jack Weston as Pig, Cab Calloway as Yeller, Jeff Corey as Hoban, Theo Marcuse as Felix, Milton Selzer as Sokol, Carl Swenson as Mr. Rudd, Emil Genest as Cajun, Ron Sobel as Danny, Irene Tedrow as Mrs. Rudd, Midge Ware as Mrs. Slade, Dub Taylor as Dealer.
For a buck, Lady Luck will be calling.
Presented by Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Fade to black.